Welcome to Peers Like Me, a podcast hosted by Western New York Independent Living. Today, our guest is Kathy Campbell, Assistant Director, Mental Health Peer Connection. Our host is Maura Kelly, the voice of the individuals WNYIL serves. Peers Like Me is a regularly scheduled podcast developed by people who have been severely and personally impacted by mental health issues. For many people in this situation, seeking to be understood and having hope for recovery is often elusive. Peers Like Me podcast aims to address these barriers by educating listeners on all the different ways people can seek help, understanding, and hope through interviewing our guests about their journey of recovery, their community leadership, and successful lives despite their own issues related to mental health. Peers Like Me podcast also envisions increased understanding by our community, neighbors, and coworkers to have each one of us truly be included in our community and hope for recovery and living very fulfilling lives.
Hello, welcome to Peers Like Me podcast. My name is Maura Kelly. I am the Western New York Independent Living Behavioral Health Peer Liaison. Thank you for joining us today. We have a special guest joining us today to talk about changing the way you think. Welcome, Kathy Campbell.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yes. So, Kathy, we go back a ways. Can you, where are you coming from? Why should I be interviewing you? What's your experience?
Well, 20 years of helping myself first so that I can guide others to making the changes they need to be happy.
Okay, 20 years before you got here, or
I met you back in 2003.
Okay, so you met me 2003 at the Western New York Independent Living.
Yep, you interviewed me for a position in mental health peer connection.
Okay, so has it been 20 years you've been here? 21 years?
Yes.
So it is May 2024.
And I started September 2003.
Wow.
So we met earlier in 2003. You did my second and my third interviews.
Okay. So what were you doing before you got hired here?
I worked whatever retail job I could get in the community, went to school to get my GED, and got an associate's degree. And then afterwards, I didn't know what to do, and June McGrath brought my resume in to you and Beth Saunders.
Right. So June McGrath was another peer.
Yes.
But one thing that fascinated that I still remember today is that you are a real adamant Tim Hortons worker bee. You worked
as Tim Hortons was one of those jobs, and it was the worst job I ever worked.
Yeah.
They did not have any customer service skills. So that was against all the customer service jobs I ever had.
Right. I think that's why I hired you, because you identified that. You knew that, and you knew customer service is key.
It is. So, it is. Yeah. Even when it can be challenging, You got to listen and hear, and if you don't provide the right service, they don't keep coming back, and that means you don't keep getting a paycheck.
Right. So I know when someone in my travels in my community, if someone is like rude or just really short, I think, oh man, they're having such a terrible day. You know, and I think how we share with other people or how we present tells a lot about our own recovery, our own journeys.
Absolutely.
You know, so you able to identify that from Tim Hortons.
We had one customer, she would come in and take two sips of her coffee and demand a new cup, and then take two sips and demand a new cup. And Tim Hortons had that policy that every time they wanted a new cup, they had to buy it.
Uh-huh. So she would save her cup?
No, she just would throw a fit. And so I would come up and I would be like, well, let me remake your coffee how you like it.
Mm-hmm.
So tell me exactly what you want. And Tim Hortons has those buttons where you press in a pre-measured amount of sugar.
Oh, okay. Of course, everything's like...
Right. And she wanted halves.
Right.
One and a half cream, 1.5 sugar. So if she asked for one, it didn't taste right. And she asked for two. So what I used to do was jump in the line and say, I will take care of her. And I would pre-measure it in a disposable cup.
Oh, okay.
And then pour half of that in to give her half. And that way, she would just sit down and drink her coffee and enjoy it.
So that says so much because, talk about customer service. Here's the employer saying, you must do it this way. It's sort of like, this is the way we do it.
And, the cookie cutter approach.
Right. And the person is asking to get out of that. And you're not like, oh, yes or no. You're like, let's see what we can do here, you know.
Got a problem solve.
Yeah.
And meet people where they're at. And I guess even before becoming a peer,
mm-hmm.
I was already a peer.
Yeah.
Because that's what I did, is I found solutions.
Right.
And I tried to implement them and put myself in another person's shoes.
Right.
9 times out of 10, if somebody's unhappy, there's a reason.
Right. So... fast forward 20 years later, now you're the assistant director of Mental Health Peer Connection.
I am.
And you supervise people.
I do.
Yeah, and you're in all these bigwig meetings.
I am.
And here's the key. Do they ask you to come back?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Actually, I used to be A to A staff. And
addict to addict.
Yes, and I used to see a lot of issues where... it seemed like it was the clinicians versus the peers.
Mm-hmm.
And there was no in between.
Mm-hmm.
Very little in between. And now I'm sitting in meetings and all of a sudden in the last 6 months, they're listening
mm-hmm.
and hearing us. And
the clinicians.
They
yeah.
are. And Juliana Everdyke from...
oh, yeah. The Erie County
the overdose prevention.
Yeah.
She is in a lot of those meetings and chairing them now. And the last few meetings have resulted in, one, we're no longer the opiate task force.
Right.
It's overdose prevention
right.
because we are hearing the greater
right.
need. Another change is that they're looking to use words that impact the community as opposed to CBT and
right,
RBT.
Right.
And they said, well, Kathy... what would you call it? And I said, change the way you think.
Right.
That changes the way you feel,
mm-hmm.
which changes the way you live. I said, because when you throw acronyms at people
right.
that they don't know,
right.
they're not absorbing your information. They're running to a dictionary
right.
trying to figure out what you're saying.
Right. So this, so you asked and we talked about, you wanted to talk about change the way you think. But I just have to add, I was... participating in the Erie County quarterly prevention task force meeting that over 400 people are attending, and I'm just doing my work, and all of a sudden I hear, and West New York Independent Living is doing this in West New York, and we had like 5 minutes of all the wonderful things, services, and getting information back, and I just smiled in my desk on the Zoom meeting. So thank you for doing that. And
you know what's funny?
Yeah.
Is I was looking at the agenda, and right before it said, these are all the places we're collaborating
right.
with. And I'm like, where's Western New York Independent Living?
Right.
Like, I'm at every meeting.
Right.
Why aren't we there?
Right.
And then that kicked in, and I looked to the next, and I was like, oh, we got our own bullet.
Right, yeah.
Like,
so.
We hit the mark,
right.
and they're listening, and they're hearing, and it feels wonderful.
So the key is, we hit the mark, they're listening and hearing, and I think it's because of customer service and thinking and changing the way you think, you know, right? Like, that's the bottom line.
It really it is because, well, you've known me a long time, and I can still hear you say, Kathy, tell us how you really feel.
Right.
Because I had no filter before, and it was very hard for me to say things with tact in
mm-hmm.
class
mm-hmm.
because I was reacting.
Right, right.
And now that I've had all these years to work on my recovery as to what that means to me, and changing the way I think
right.
was catalyst for it all, I'm learning
right.
how to communicate on a different level. And 3 years ago, when
mm-hmm.
I jumped in this position, I was still peer advocate mode.
Right.
So, I wasn't that good in the meetings at first.
Right. So I struggled with this. So when people are not doing well, it's hard to have that control and the boundaries and the emotion. I think that's part of having mental health issues. Sometimes it's just we just can't keep it in check. But I think being a peer, understanding that, and being where that person is all what relationships and peer-to-peer relationships are.
And knowing it's okay to not be okay.
Mm-hmm.
And it's okay to say, today's a good day to take the day right. off of trying to.
Right.
I still wake up depressed sometimes.
Right.
And my anxiety still gets the better of me. And I will wake up and I will think, my life sucks.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll think, wait a minute. Yesterday did not suck.
Right, right.
So there's probably something dictating your thinking today.
Right.
And let's get busy intellectually.
Right. So the doing and the activity don't necessarily meet how you're feeling.
Like, exactly.
I might be feeling terrible, but I'm doing all the great stuff and I'm getting, you know, whatever. And, you know, I got positive things in my life. But feelings and reality are two different things, right?
You taught me that, Mar.
So.
You taught me, and it wasn't even me you told this to. It was another staff who wasn't coming to work.
Mm.
And they were sharing with you that everything was horrible. And you said, bring the body.
Right, right. I
and
wrote it on a piece of paper, yes.
The mind will follow.
Yeah. Yes.
So every day when I wake up and I feel like my life sucks,
right.
the first thing I think is get up, get dressed, and take your body somewhere.
Right.
Whether it's to the living room,
right.
to work,
right.
to wherever is on my agenda for that day. And I think once I'm there, I can 90%
right.
of the time, something happens that brings me out of it.
Right. Yeah, so changing the way you think. So I was complaining about how terrible I felt. And the person I was complaining to said, well, you know, when was the last time you experienced it? Oh, I keep on doing this activity. I hate the activity, but all the feelings and the actions, you know, the actions are what matters. So what's this change the way you think?
Years ago, the enhancement program started, and we were doing a lot of research.
So a welfare to work program.
Yeah. And I came across what they define as cognitive distortion.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
And immediately I said, nope, we're going to call those stinking thinking patterns.
Right, so cognitive distortion is a therapeutic billable service about,
yes.
You know, stinking thinking.
Right, and most people will go through CBT.
Right,
now,
cognitive behavioral therapy, right.
I never...
Not the marijuana.
Right, I never went into CBT. So I'm researching it and I'm thinking, wow, this is a really good thing. And like everything else I brought in that classroom, I had to apply it to my life.
Right.
Because I didn't want to be a hypocrite.
Right.
Stand there and tell people manage stress when I couldn't manage
right.
it. So I start working on these thinking patterns. And for the first time in my life, I'm having more success with my mental health. And I'm realizing I might be an alcoholic than I've ever had.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, this is really something. And it became catalyst to the entire program. Everything. We started our day with a positive quote.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Each day is a new beginning.
Right, yep.
Don't sweat the small stuff.
Yep.
And I just started to put all this positive information into my life. And... all of a sudden, I was smiling more and having less today in my life sucks.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, wow, this is impacting me
mm-hmm.
more than I ever thought it would. And I thought I came up with some great new healing. And then I saw a book on CBT, Changing the Way You Think. And I was like, oh.
Right.
But that is what led me to stop calling it CBT.
Right.
Stop giving it professional
right,
names.
Right, right. It's just humanness.
Right, like yeah. if somebody in therapy would have said that to me,
right.
I would have been gung-ho and I would have been like, no, I don't want to join CBT. I don't
right.
have time for therapy.
Right.
I'm a mom, I'm working,
right.
going to school.
And then there's a copay.
Always a copay. You know, so. And the power was right there.
Right.
The literature all around me.
Right. So you had enough, and I know, energy and ambition to learn to empower yourself.
Which helped to empower others.
Yes. By leading by example. Yes.
Yes. Yeah. And, you know, I took it very serious because when I was in that classroom, Jamel Clark, Job Club Advocate, said, "Wow, you have a lot of power and control in your hands, Kathy." And I said, "Power and control?" He said, "They look up to you.
Mm-hmm.
And everything you say and do and think is good, they incorporate that into their life."
Right. Until they can do it themselves.
Exactly. Yeah. And that was heavy.
Yeah.
I remember going in the room and being afraid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, what if I screw up somebody's life?
Right, exactly.
So, again, don't be a hypocrite.
Right.
Practice what you're preaching.
And you never know what you say to someone that can have major, major impact, good, bad, indifferent. Especially if you're a supervisor, too. Like, that's a third of someone's life, you know. if you don't say hello, you know, that might, "Oh, my gosh, I'm going to be fired," you know. So, in our insecurity.
And it's true.
Yeah.
Being the supervisor versus their coworker.
Right.
I could say something as a coworker.
Right.
And they would embrace it and thank you, I'm
going
to grow. And I say the same thing as a supervisor, and next thing I know, I'm in trouble.
Right, yep.
So yeah.
It's a different thing, yeah. So
it's been the last 3 years have been all about revisiting, changing the way I think.
Yeah, and that's what we all have to do every day, you know. If we want to, I guess, yesterday was a great day. So yesterday we had, now it's May's Mental Health Awareness, and we had a couple events, Kathy and I together, celebrating mental health. And it was nice. We got to eat nice, like, just good food. And, like, who'd have thought? You know, who'd have thought 20, 30 years ago we'd be sitting at a $100 plate dinner, you know, just paid by us, you know. But just the blessings of that.
And not as stigmatized. Yes, it's still out there, but people are openly sharing about it now, and they're saying, "I'm a human being too, and just because I have a different doesn't mean I need to be treated anyway." And to see it finally starting to impact the community and people starting to care.
Right. So it's just a little awareness on my part is that last night's dinner at another agency's 50-year anniversary celebration, our agency, Western New York Independent Living, had number one table. We had table number one.
We did.
A couple years, maybe 5 or 6 years ago, another big agency had a celebration. They had 50 tables. We were table 50. You know, so like, so I think we're doing something right as an agency, and as, you know, one of you being a leader and sharing, you know, not just saying what I say, but living what I say.
Right.
So
it was last night, I can say I went home and my face hurt because I smiled so much. Watching the 50 years in review video, hearing them share their retirement stories and what their path was, and being part of the process that made it possible to be at table number one.
Yes. And just a little side, so our CEO, Douglas Usiak, has a 50-year celebration of when his life changed totally, when he was injured in the Vietnam War. And we celebrated that. You know, he's celebrating 50 years in the disability movement. You know, it's not a negative.
It's a positive.
You know, and he's our leader. You know, he's our role model that, hey, you know, he's doing this and we're doing it too. So changing the way you think.
Yeah. I used to look at what made me a unique individual as the worst part of my life. And today, I look back and I think I probably wouldn't want to relive the childhood I had.
Right.
But if I had not, how many people would I have not been able to help because I went through some uncomfortable things?
Right. So, well, thank you very much, Kathy Campbell.
You're welcome.
Nice to finally have you be a guest on the Peers Like Me podcast. Hopefully you'll come back again.
Anytime. I enjoyed it. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
You've been listening to Peers Like Me, a podcast that explores issues related to behavioral health, sponsored by Western New York Independent Living, Inc., with the assistance of the Niagara Frontier Radio Reading Service. Today, our guest has been Kathy Campbell, Assistant Director of Mental Health Peer Connection. Our host has been Maura Kelly.